Let's get back to what happened on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, Tom Inadnet.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, if you'd like to join us, our number is 888-463-6748. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about entitlements and how we have actually nurtured the idea that you're entitled to something simply because you happen to be walking around breathing air and living in this country. And we know that that cannot stand. But now there are some entitlements that we need, and I'm going to address a couple of those. Social Security, for example, is something that we really need to have in place for our older people. And as a matter of fact, most of them have lived long, productive lives and actually are entitled simply because of their work history. And Social Security sees that they have, and albeit a marginal, they still have a method to which they can pay their bills and so forth. But right now, the current revenue collected through payroll taxes plus interest will be sufficient to fund retirement benefits only until 2023, and this is according to the Kipling letter. After that, Social Security will have to dip into the National Trust Fund, and that's a fund that stockpiles excess tax revenues that have been stockpiled, and it's been done that been that way for about 25 years. However, that trust fund will run dry in about 2036. Now, a lot of you are saying, well, you know, who cares? 2036, you know, I probably won't be here anymore. But understand, ladies and gentlemen, my son is 10 years old. In 2036, he'll be 34 years old, and there will be nothing for him to rely on as he ages. Now, like I've said before, that Social Security, and I know that people, you know, start writing your letters because I know that this really irks people, but Social Security, as it is set up right now, is a Ponzi scheme. And a Ponzi scheme is where new investors put money into the scheme to pay old investors. Now, that is a textbook definition of a Ponzi scheme, and it also is a textbook definition of Social Security. Younger workers pay into the fund, and that those funds are then distributed to the older, retired folks. Now, there's no reason that we should not have a Social Security system. Now, understand, folks, there are many people who need this money. But it has to be reformulated. We have to do something about it, or by the time our children, and I don't mean, you know, our grandchildren, and this is something that might happen way, you know, in the future. I'm talking about my son will have nothing upon which to rely when it comes time for his retirement. And the way the economy is, lately especially, it's difficult for anyone to save enough money to retire on. I mean, those people who are able to save enough money to retire is a smaller and smaller and smaller segment of the working population. And like we discussed last week, because our gross net worth, the average net worth of an American family, has diminished by 38%. Now, ladies and gentlemen, 38% is a huge amount when you're talking about if you're right now 50 years old and you've lost 38% of what you've worked for your entire life, how are you going to make up that difference in order for you to be able to retire successfully? And if Medicare, or excuse me, if Social Security is not there for you, how are you going to live? It is a train wreck, and we're all on board the train, I promise you. So how do we fix that? Now, one of the best ways to fix that is to restructure it. Let anyone 50 and over stay in the current system. We've already paid into it for a number of years. Stay in the current system. You're not going to be bothered. But for those who are under 50, there must be some sort of financial plan we can come up with to allow them to take more hold of their money, to put it in places where it's going to generate enough revenue so that they can retire. It's not an impossible task. As a matter of fact, if you go on the internet and look for a solution, possible solution to Social Security, you'll get hundreds of thousands of hits. Now, certainly, someone in our government should have the socks to get up and talk to someone across the aisle and try to figure this out before this train hits the end of the line. And it's coming very soon, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you know, as far as my life is concerned, I may never see it. But my son will, and so will yours. Now, Medicare is another thing. Now, Medicare is a wonderful way for people who cannot afford medical coverage to be covered. And the problem with Medicare is that it's ripe with fraud. This is one of the biggest social programs that is ripe with fraud. People who are certainly able to afford their own healthcare are taking advantage of it. There are replete examples of people who have more than enough money to provide their own insurance, yet they're not. They rely on the Medicare model. And, you know, who wouldn't? That's human nature. If the government's going to give you an entitlement, hand it out simply because you've passed an age or because you have a condition, then of course you're going to take it, even if you don't need to, because, you know, who's not going to? If I handed you a $20 bill and you had a pocket full of 20s, you'll still take that $20 bill. Now, there are a few, some exceptions. Now, Medicare, by and large, can work. And, I mean, it has worked. As a matter of fact, but there's a lot of guff that has been given to the Bush administration because they passed Medicare Part B, which is a prescription drug benefit program. Now, according to Forbes, Part D is the most cost-effective and successful entitlement program the federal government runs. Even conservatives like Newt Gingrich has spoken several times on his campaign about how to support this program, which is run on a free enterprise model. He's touted the program's success and effectiveness in saving lives, saving money, and offering people more choices. And that's because it has a strong competitive nature. Thanks to strong competition, the prescription drug program is costing the government and beneficiaries far less than the initial projections. As a matter of fact, last year, the Congressional Budget Office reduced its baseline 10-year spending projection for all Medicare by $186 billion. That's two-thirds of which of the savings were accounted for by a reduction in Part B spending. Understand, with Part D spending, you still go to a specific drug company to get specific things, but it's subsidized by the federal government. Now, unfortunately, the Independent Payment Advisory Board, let's say that again, Independent Payment Advisory Board, and it was created by the passage of the Health Care Reform Act, and it should be eliminated. That particular advisory board would allow an unelected board to singly enact spending cuts in the Medicare program. Essentially, that advisory board would substitute an unelected body of government, enabling it to make binding recommendations to reduce Medicare spending. It's a threat. Trust me, it's a threat to critical treatments and services for all Medicare beneficiaries, and it needs to be abolished. Now, once again, I'm quoting Forbes here, and they give several ideas what we might do to help make Medicare a little more cost-effective. Now, President Obama spends a great deal of time and effort saying how the Republicans and the conservatives want to throw Granny over the cliff. They want her to go out, and they want her to be sick, and they want her to have dirty air and dirty water, which is just patently ridiculous. As a matter of fact, if you look at the truth, President Obama, who blames the Republicans and his Affordable Health Care Act, will cost Medicare over $500 billion over the next 10 years. Now, here's a few ideas how we might save Medicare. Gradually increase the retirement age. We've heard this talked about over and over and over. For instance, raise the eligibility age for Medicare from 67 to 67 from 65. You'll save $124 billion. Now, let's be honest. Most of us in our 60s are as healthy as our former generations were in our 40s. Our medical needs are far less than they were in past generations. So what is the harm in saving $124 billion by raising it by 2 years? Here's another idea. Gradually limit the Medicare benefits that the wealthy can receive. The idea has been backed by bipartisan commissions. Last fall, President Obama proposed higher Medicare premiums for high-income seniors as part of a deficit plan that he submitted to the Congressional Supercommittee. Now, that would save about $20 billion over 10 years, simply making sure that those who can afford it on their own do not drain a system that's already under a great deal of stress. We can cut back on subsidies for beneficiaries to buy supplemental Medigap insurance. That would save about $92 billion. Increase the premiums that benefits pay Medicare doctors coverage so they cover 35% of the program's cost instead of 25% of the current law. That would save another $240 billion. Also, and I believe that this is one of the most urgent things that we need to do, we need to modernize the Medicare benefits package, including co-payment structure. A modernized benefit structure with a deductible and out-of-pocket maximum indexed to reflect how much income a specific recipient has. So those who can afford it on their own should be able to pay a larger piece of the pie. Now, again, these are things that we need to take a look at, because there is no reason that someone who has a comfortable lifestyle and can afford their own private insurance should be draining a system that was designed to help those who cannot take care of their own medical needs. Now, there are many things that we can do to improve the Medicare system, and that's just a few of them. And what stuns me is that improving Social Security and Medicare seems to be the atomic bomb in Congress. Nobody wants to talk about it. the reason nobody wants to talk about it is because of perceived voter reaction. For example, if you say, well, we need to modernize Social Security, all of a sudden those people who are getting close to receiving it or who are receiving it now become scared to death that you're going to take their benefits away, and rightly so. But the truth is that we're not going to take their benefits away. We need to figure out how to make those who are not able at this time to amass enough wealth to support themselves in their retirement, we need to make sure that they are secure. We need to put Social Security, and you've heard this term 100 times, in a lockbox. Now, unfortunately, Social Security seems to be a fund that is rated on a regular basis, and we simply can't have that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's interesting to understand that it is possible, and if you don't believe me, you surely go to the Internet, do a little research on your own, and find out that there are many ways that we can modernize Medicare, Medicaid, and other entitlement programs, Social Security, that would make them save billions. I've just given you several examples that would save upwards to $350 billion. And it's not something that is going to make grandma eat cat food, which seems to be the idea. Now, what's wrong with this is that the older citizens who actually are the recipients of these entitlement programs also tend to be the ones who vote more. So the politicians in Washington are scared to death to offend the part of their constituency that tends to pay more attention to politics and tends to go to the polls because they're going to be out of a job. And trust me, ladies and gentlemen, the only thing that a politician cares about is remaining a politician. So they're not going to do anything to ruffle the feathers. But guys, if we have a hole in the boat, if this train gets to the end of the line and we haven't done anything, we're all on board, ladies and gentlemen. From the lady who gets Medicare in her wheelchair in Wisconsin to the President of the United States, we're all on the same train. And if this train wrecks, we're done. And it can be done. All that's required is for someone to get up off the floor, have a little guts, like the governor of Wisconsin, cross the aisle and work out a deal. Now, for the last 30 years, they've been talking about doing it. And they still have not. They won't even talk about it because it's such a sensitive issue. Now, it's going to be really sensitive at the end of 2036 when there is no money left. And if our national debt continues to climb as it has, then we will have nowhere to go but down. Time for us to take a short break, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back right after this.